I'm going to be in the book of James today because what's the word of the day? Joy. And so James has something important to tell us about joy. And so as we get started today, let's open up in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for how you always tell us the truth. Father, what a beautiful thing that is, to know that we can trust you, to know that we can always look to you and know that you have never lied to us and you would never lead us astray. So, Father, we fall on you today and we ask you to teach us from your word. Father, help us to understand how we can have joy in the midst of a world that's broken. Father, help us to look to you today and to love you more because we've been in your presence here today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, you and I are sort of in the same boat today. And that is that we get to rely on the power of God's word in the hands of God's spirit. We get to rely on the power of the word in the hands of God's spirit. Had some surprises this week. Thrown at Eldon and I, and so you might have noticed, number one, I'm not Eldon, and also, he's not here today, and so I have the message. So I have the message today, and didn't find out incredibly early, so I haven't had a whole lot of time to prepare. I cannot keep this on, so I'm just going to take that off. Can we use this mic? I'm not going to move around anyway. I don't have anywhere to go. Yeah, so I haven't really prepared all that much a message to preach, but that's fine. It's fine because we rely on the power of the word. I don't have anything smart to say anyway, but God does, and God can teach us regardless of that. So anyway, we're talking about joy, and James has a couple of super super important things to tell us about joy. And so I was thinking about that because it's Christmas, and that means it is the season for complaining, right? And grumbling. We had some of that this last week at my house, me included. I'm not pointing at the others in my house, but we had a session of grumpiness. And actually, my lovely wife led all of us in this time of apologizing to each other. I don't know if you guys have ever had one of those in your house, probably so. But Laura said, hey, it's time for all of us to apologize to everybody else. and she was right. We needed that. There was some grumpiness, some complaining that was going on. And just general ungratefulness, I think. And I don't really need to have a holiday approaching to get grumpy with my family, but it helps, doesn't it, whenever there's a holiday right around the corner? Because patience gets tested, the checkbook gets tested, schedules get tested, romance gets tested, all of that stuff. It gets tested. This holiday season in some ways is like a picture of a greater reality. It's the reality that God sends certain times, certain seasons into our life in order to refine us, in order to make us better, in order to test us. And that's what James has to say. I'm going to be, of course, here at the very beginning of the book, chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. That's what I'm going to read today. Count it all joy, my brothers. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Count it all joy, all of it. Count it joy. So I want to read you something that I read this yesterday in the Bible Knowledge Commentary by J.R. Bloom. He writes this: trials from without, and temptations from within are no match for the Christian who stands on the truth from above. I'll say it again. Trials from without and temptations from within are no match for the Christian who stands in the truth from above. James says that we can count it all joy when we meet these trials of various kinds, when these tests come into our lives. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said they were getting ready for finals at school. Finals. Anybody else here getting ready for finals at school? No, those people are all online today, studying, I guess. Yeah. But those are coming up. Or some people probably had those this last week. I don't know. I'm not in school anymore, thankfully. But finals are kind of like what James is talking about. Because he says, when you meet these various trials, you can know that your faith is about to be tested. Tested. It's an important thing to think about is God, as he relates to us through various tests of our faith. Because a test, when it's given to a student, it's to assess whether or not they can pass, right? I mean, that's basically what a test is, to figure out whether or not you know the material and you can say it back to the teacher and pass the test. Tests are not really designed to inflict suffering on us, I don't think. Especially, I know I went through some tests in school that seemed especially unfair and stuff like that. But they're not really designed to be unfair. They're designed to test you, to assess you, and to encourage learning in general. That's the point of the test. So James is giving us some advice on how to score very high on the tests that God would give us. And he says it's about bringing the right attitude to the test, to the trial. It's about attitude, and it's about understanding what the advantage is that's on the other side of this test, what the advantage is. He's basically saying that if you focus your attention on what he's going to say here, then you'll probably make it onto God's honor roll. Let me read the verses once again. Count it all joy, all of it joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Other versions call it endurance or perseverance. You can stick with it. It's your steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The idea of joy, translated here, has the idea of being complete or full. It says all joy. I think NIV calls it pure joy. Is that right? Pure joy. It's the idea of being not mixed in with anything else. Every part. It's all joy. It's not mixed with other stuff. Because I know for me, like when I have trials, what I really love, honestly, it's just my sinful nature. What I like is I like to have like sort of half-hearted joy. And then I mix it in with some sarcasm and a little bit of self-pity. I love that. And then I grumble on top of it all. Because that's how I meet trials. You know, I say things like, oh, joy. That's just my luck. I love my life. You guys have done that kind of stuff. I'm sure. I'm not the only guy. And James says that's not how to meet the trials in our lives. I mean, we know that. I know it when I do it, but I can't help it. Nobody likes trials. And James is not saying when you see a trial, rejoice because, yay, here comes the problem. He's not saying that at all. He's saying something very, very different. So we don't meet trials with this mixed idea of sarcasm and sin and self-pity and all of that kind of stuff. He says, listen, you're going to have testings of your faith. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Your faith, get this, your faith is just too important for God to not test it, to not improve it, to not refine it. It's too important for him to ignore that. So he gives you, unfortunately, pop quizzes all the time. A lot of times we just don't even recognize them, and we grumble and we go on. I mean, that's what I do. But listen, if you're a believer, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, then he says you take on the title of disciple, right? We've read that in the Bible. He calls us disciples, which that really just means learner. So there we are. We're in class with God, in a sense, and we're learning. We're learning how to be more like Christ. We're learning how to display these characteristics that God wants us to display, one of them being joy. One of them being joy. So he calls these trials, or we have these various tests. And I guess as I was reading this, my question was, what is the test? What's the right answer to the test? I just want to know the answer. And then I can pass the test and I can move on. What is the test? Well, the test is really just simply this. Something comes before you and you have an opportunity to trust God. That's really what the test is. No matter what the trial is, you have an opportunity to trust God, or you have an opportunity to trust something else. That's what's laid before us. You can trust God or trust something else. You can trust yourself. You can trust your friend. You can trust a certain hero. You can trust your way of thinking, or you can trust in power, or you can trust in money, or you can trust that the pleasure of sin will satisfy the way you think, or you can trust our enemy when he lies to you and he says, all you got to do is bow down to me and I'll give you the world. That's what he said to Jesus when he was tempted in the desert. He said, just bow down to me and I'll give you the world. So the test is, will I trust God or will I trust something else? God doesn't tempt us to sin. That's the enemy that does that. I just want to clarify that. But God allows our faith to be tested over and over again to refine us, to make our faith stronger. This is what happens if you're a believer. Now, if you're a non-believer, let's say you're here this morning as a skeptic, and you haven't trusted Christ yet, but you're wondering, or you're interested, you want to know, what is this Christian thing? Well, if you haven't trusted him, then he's not refining your faith because you haven't placed your faith in him yet. And there's only one test. There's only one simple test if you're an unbeliever today, and that's just, will you trust the gospel? Will you trust the gospel? The gospel simply says that Jesus, who came as a baby in a manger, then he lived a perfect life, and he gave that life up for you to pay a debt that you could never pay, so that you can be in fellowship with him forever. And there's not another alternative to be in fellowship with God forever other than through this baby that came in the manger. So God offers you this Christmas gift that you can't live without. December is the best time of year to receive this gift. They're all the best time of year, but I mean, December is as good a time as any to receive this Christmas gift. And really, you shouldn't go another moment without receiving him as your Savior. And then if you do, then hey, you get enrolled in the school like the rest of us, and God begins to refine your faith. We run into various tests and trials. And we're called to respond with joy when these things happen in our lives, when these tests come, because God's in charge and he is making our faith stronger. The world outside, the world counts it all joy when they escape trials. But we, as disciples, as learners, we can count it all joy in the midst of the trial because God is at work. If we'll see that and if we'll trust him. So we're not joyous for trials, but we're joyous in the trials. So the question comes then, how can a person find joy in trials? Because many of you are like, I'm in the midst of the trial. Tell me where the joy is. Christians can face trials with joy because there are rich, rich advantages from these testings. Trials, when rightly taken, produce this Christian quality of endurance. I think about music. I love music, obviously, and a musician, or really anybody else with some kind of a creative skill, they know the advantage of endurance. And they know the advantage of perseverance. They know the advantage of practice over and over again. Willingness to practice for hours sometimes. Some people get that when they have a taste of the advantage, for instance. I remember as a kid, I remember one time in particular, actually, now that I think of it, I was at a recital, and like I totally messed up my piano piece, and I actually just about left the stage crying. Because, you know, you're just like, it's hard, and I messed up, and everybody knows it, and I'm no good at this, and I wanted to give up. I did. I wanted to give up. I was like, it's not worth it. I don't want to play the piano anymore. I mean, a lot of us, we get there in certain things, in whatever it is in life. You mess up and you're like, I'm done with this. I'm just done with it. A lot of us do that. But James says, as a Christian, when these testings come, you can find joy right there because God's at work in your heart. God's doing something special within you, and he's developing steadfastness. He's developing patience and endurance. What he says here is, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces this steadfastness, and then let steadfastness have its full effect. It says something different in NIV about, who's got that? It finishes its work. Is that what it says in NIV? Are you guys awake? Hello? Like nobody said anything. I know somebody's got the NIV here. Yeah. It says, it finishes its work. So it's like, that's not the whole goal. The goal is not just to have endurance. The goal is not necessarily just to persevere, but it finishes its work, or it completes, it has its full effect, that we can be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's what God wants. He wants that for you, specifically in relation to your faith. If you flip over to 1 Peter, Peter talks about the same exact thing in chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says this, "In this you rejoice," once again, joy. "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, this tested genuineness of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." God wants to test the genuineness of our faith. Is it real? Do you really trust me? He says. Do you trust me in the midst of this? When it's hard, do you trust? Do you trust? Gaining maturity as a Christian is the whole point of the book of James. In many ways, it's the whole point of our New Testament as we read it. How do we mature? How do we become more like Christ? How do you become a better musician? It's through practice. It's through tough things. Like some of the guys that play up here, one of the reasons that they can remain cool even when they make a mistake is because they've made a lot of mistakes. We mess up all the time. It's the same for us as a believer. You go through various things and you learn from it. And we have a Christian endurance and perseverance that is an admirable thing. We need to wrap up. He wants to refine our faith. He wants to. And I don't like it. I'll be honest. I really don't. I don't rejoice when the trials come, but he doesn't call us to. He doesn't say that we look at the problem and we smile. Instead, the problem happens and we look to God and we say, I know you're in charge and I know that you will make me a better person through this. And that will be for his glory. And it will be for the purpose of reconciling people to himself. We've all seen people that go through troubles, that go through trials, and they go through it with a beauty that you can't explain. And that's God at work in them. Today's a wake-up call. I preached on this because I need to hear it. I was reading this and I was like, this is what I need to hear, so hey, I might as well preach on this. Today's a wake-up call for me, and it's a wake-up call for each one of us. When that Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm going to need you to bow down now, compromise what you know is right, what will we do? When the wind and the waves, when they're threatening to capsize the boat, what will we do? When your wife can't conceive, when your husband doesn't believe, when your hope is dead and buried, what will we do? God says, count it all joy, brothers, because I'm making you beautiful through this. Because your faith is so precious in his sight that he wants to refine it and test it and make it stronger for his glory. So in the midst of our trials, we look to Jesus. He's good. He's good. He's a good shepherd, and he has a good plan. And if we keep our eyes on him, we'll be surprised by the joy that we can find, even in life's hard moments. He wants to refine our faith, and in the midst of all of that, we can find joy. Let's stand and we'll sing.